Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, it's so good to see you here today. Glad you've come to be a part of this service. Next Sunday, we're going to start a brand new series of messages called Hey Jude. I'm going to let you figure out what book of the Bible we're going to be covering and all of that. But that's going to start next week. So you can go ahead and start looking for Jude this week when you're going through your Bible. But then, after we finish that in September, we're going to begin a new series called Let There Be, where we focus on Genesis 1 to 11. We talk about creation, talk about Adam and Eve. We're going to talk about Noah and the flood, all those kinds of things. And so there's a lot in those verses. Let's just say that. And what you believe about the first, I'll say it this way. What you believe about the first verse of the book of Genesis determines what you believe about pretty much everything else in the scriptures. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you as well. So that's coming up. But we're wrapping up today our series we've been in since Easter. It's hard to believe we've been talking about the promises of God since Easter, and we haven't even scratched the surface of all the promises that are contained in God's Word. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in trouble? Yes, some of you are probably thinking, as a matter of fact, I have as recently as today. Well, you know, one of those things, that phrase of, are you in trouble? You ever been in trouble? That's a phrase a lot of times when you're a kid that you think about a lot. When you're an adult, you kind of have a different viewpoint of it. But it doesn't matter if you're a kid or an adult. We all go through times in our life when we're in trouble. In fact, it may be as an adult, maybe a long time since you've thought of it in those terms of being in trouble. But all of us face troubles in life. The troubles are just kind of different. When you were a kid, you thought certain things were going to be trouble going on. When you were growing up, you thought things were going to be a problem. When I was growing up, I thought quicksand was going to be a big issue. It seemed like a lot of movies and television shows involved quicksand. I've never seen quicksand in my life, so I was fooled. But then I didn't realize there were some things when I got older that were going to be trouble that I didn't think about even when I was a kid. There are things we know are going to be trouble, things that we don't know are going to be trouble. But we all face troubles in life. In fact, back at the beginning of our series, back in April, we talked about one of Jesus' promises that we don't claim a lot and we don't put on a lot of coffee mugs. But in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. Again, not one we like to claim, but it is a promise nonetheless. If that promise of Jesus, if that hadn't come true in your life, then you're not living life. We all know this world is filled with trouble. Troubles come for everyone. Some of you today are facing trouble in your life. Maybe it's trouble in your job. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's in your heart. Maybe it's in your life. Maybe it's a report from the doctor. Trouble is something that we all face, but how we respond is really what's critical. Now, as Christians, we often adopt the way of the world when it comes to troubling news. And what I mean by that is we kind of toss up a prayer and then we just try to work it out, fix it on our own. And that's what the world does. God help me, but I'm going to try to figure this out myself. Well, we should do all that we can to do all that we can. But the difference boils down to the word trust. Amen. Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting God in the good times and in the difficult times? Are you trusting Him to control your life when you've got good news, a baby has been born, or when you get a bad report from the doctor? Trusting that the Lord has us in His hands. When we were kids, we sang about it. He's got the whole world in His hands. And what that means is He's got the good and the bad in His hands. But then we get older and we start thinking those are songs for kids. Do we really believe God has us in His hands? We know that He does, but do we know that He does? We say we do, but do we live it out in our everyday lives? Do we live our life trusting in Him? We love to celebrate the good things that God's done for us, and He has done to many, but we often fail to celebrate when He's with us in the hard times. Well, I want you to know God's in the hard times. Amen. And that's a promise. He specializes in difficult situations. And he often works out things that seem hopeless. Now, he doesn't always work them out the way that we want to. But God is at work in situations that seem possible and impossible. Because nothing is too difficult for him. So we finalize our series today of Cross Your Heart, looking at these promises of God. And today we come to one of my favorite psalms. In fact, if I had to pick a favorite psalm, it would be Psalm 91. It speaks to all of us where we are in different times and different places in our life, but most clearly it speaks to us in the difficult times. Those times we're in a tight spot, those times that we need a rescuer. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles there to Psalm 91. This is a great psalm. And it is so great, in fact, that the devil has it memorized. That's how great this psalm is. The devil has it memorized, and he quotes it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. So today we meet the psalmist, and the psalmist is in trouble. I don't know exactly his problem. It may be the problem you have. It may be very similar to yours, maybe different. But his words may speak to where all of us are. And I want you to see today that no matter what problems you're going through, no matter what trouble you're facing, no matter how overwhelming it may feel or how difficult it may feel, no matter how grave the problem may seem, God has not abandoned you. And God has not left you alone. But God is in your life. He is working in your life. And he is inviting you in the midst of that trouble to draw closer to him. Amen. This psalm is filled with promises for your life. Amen. And I want to draw them out today. Here's the first one. It's the promise of rest. The promise of rest. We live in the greatest country in all the world. Of course, I'm talking about Texas. And one of the wonderful things about Texas is we get used to storms, right? Especially in the spring. There's that wet stuff that falls out of the sky. We haven't seen it in a long time, but in the spring we have storms. And when those storms come our way, here in Texas, people do one of two things. They either go to the center of their house and get in the bathtub, or they go to the front yard. Stand out in the front yard, watch it. They want to see where it's coming from. I mean, that's just Texas. But in other places, they go for that shelter. They go to that place, that storm. In fact, in the middle of our country, primarily, we have people have built in their homes, they built storm shelters. Many of them are underground. Well, we have a storm shelter for our lives. And in that refuge, we can find rest. For many, that refuge is another person. They're trying to find answer, satisfaction in another person over here. For some, they try to find through a support group, or maybe it's trying to get answers from them. For some, it's from drugs and alcohol. There are many types of escape out there. But there are very few true refuge locations, places, true places of refuge. Well, the psalmist knew where a true refuge was. Look in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. This passage is one that I sometimes will read when I go make a hospital visit, see somebody who's there in the hospital, and oftentimes they're in a very difficult time. They're in a storm in their life, and they need a refuge. But it's really not just for the hospital. This is a passage that is for all of life. And the psalmist found refuge in his life, and he says that if a person is in a crisis situation, you can choose to run into that refuge. You don't have to do that. You are not forced to do that. But it says, he who dwells, the one who chooses to dwell. That word dwell means to remain or stay or abide, as we sometimes see in Scripture. Not run in and run out, but to run in and to stay, to be with, to spend time with. He who stays with the Lord will not be alone. Instead, he will find, the scripture says, shelter. Shelter. This is not a shelter of human making. This is not a bathtub in the center of your house. This is not a safe room or a place underground. But the shelter is God himself. The psalmist acknowledges who that refuge is, and he does so with three names. Calls him the Most High. Calls him the Almighty. Calls him the Lord. These names speak of God as creator and lover of our soul, but they're words of power and might and authority. He who is Lord over nature and storms is a refuge for the storms of life. He is the Almighty. In him we find that refuge. And look at how that refuge is spoken of in three different words. One is shelter. That means to run to a place of safety. The next word is the word refuge. And that's a place to hide from your enemies. And then we have the word fortress. The Hebrew, the one who keeps me. The one who keeps me. When the storms of life come on you, you can run to the Lord and you can find safety. And you can find a place to hide. And you are kept by the Lord. Now, the imagery there is one of a military installation. So you're not being, kept in some open field. The place that you're being kept is a place of strong protection in times of trouble. So here's God's promise for you. He's promising you that he's going to surround you. So as a refuge, the Lord surrounds us. Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. When we go to Israel, we sing that song as we are there in Israel. You can see all the mountains that surround that city. And as awesome as those mountains are that surround that city, that's nothing like the Lord. Amen. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. That is awesome. But it gets awesomer. It's good enough. You understand what I'm saying? That refuge is not cold and rough, but instead, it is a place of warmth and love. Look in verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. So that's a picture of a mother bird just sheltering her babies. And God is that one who shelters us, that place of refuge, that fortress, and he guards us. The Bible says that he guards us. He's before us, he's behind us, and he's on all sides. Psalm 139, verse 5. You hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Friend, don't miss the promise. Amen. Don't miss this promise in your life. It is so good for us to hear that when you go through these difficult times and these difficult struggles and these physical problems, health problems, relationship problems, financial problems, as you go through those and you walk that path, it's going to be difficult. It's hard, but you're not by yourself. You're not alone. You have one who is leading you and guiding you. Thomas Andrew Dorsey was a jazz musician from Atlanta. In the 1920s, he gained a certain amount of notoriety as a composer of jazz tunes, but they were filled with suggestive lyrics. But he had a life change by meeting the Lord, and he gave that up in 1926 to focus exclusively on spiritual music. In 1932, the times were really hard for Dorsey, as they were for everybody during the Depression, but certainly for a musician, it was tough. And on top of that, his music was not accepted by very many people. Some said it was too worldly. The devil's music, they called it. The color of his black skin kept many from listening. Many years later, Dorsey would comment that, "I got kicked out of some of the best churches in the land." But the real blow came one night in St. Louis when he received a telegram that his pregnant wife had suddenly died. He was filled with grief and just shaken to his core. So he turned, instead of to self-pity, to the discipline that he knew best. And in the midst of that hurt and that heartache and that agony, He wrote the following lyrics. Precious Lord, take my hand. Amen. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Amen. Your story may not be Dorsey's, but we all need the Lord to help us and to take our hand. Friday, I was sitting at the bedside of a sweet lady who's a member of our church whose diagnosis from the doctor is not optimistic. She knows that. And she told me, she said, Pastor, when you preach my funeral, you tell everybody, he led me all the way. Amen. That's what Dorsey was saying. And in him, we have the promise of rest. Rest in the midst of that storm, because he's not left us. He's leading us. We also have the promise of courage. The promise of courage. In our world today, it is so easy to live in fear. We're afraid. Afraid of pandemics and terrorism and inflation or recession, maybe. I don't know. It depends on which definition you're using. Job insecurity. If you go to the grocery store today and you look at the prices of the food on the shelves, it causes fear. I told my wife, I said, I don't know how people who are struggling make it with what's going on just in the grocery stores and gas prices. There's a lot in our world to be afraid of. And we can operate our lives in a sense of trust or a sense of fear. We can live our lives dreading everything and afraid of everything. And fear has a way of paralyzing us, causing anxiety in our life. I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Miami, Florida. And there was a lot of trouble when we lived there in the late 70s. There were riots and crime and drugs. And man, there's stress everywhere. Every time you turned on the news, the news was all terrible. It was just all negative about what was going on in our city. And things were happening to people in our church. And I didn't realize it necessarily as a kid. But as a kid, it was creating a sense of fear and anxiety within me. And I was probably more anxious than I even realized. And I remember one night, I was laying in bed. And when I was laying in bed, somebody tried to open my window. And when somebody tried to open my window, it sent a chill down my spine. You know how it is? Have you ever had those times when you've been so frightened of something, just all of a sudden it just sends a chill down your spine? And as a kid, I can still remember that night and remember that chill going down my spine. Now, it turns out it was my mom in the room next door opening her window. But as she opened her window, it sounded to me like somebody was opening my window. And I was, as they say in the Bible, the old King James, I was sore afraid. Are you sore afraid about something in your life? Some of you are afraid of whether or not that new business is going to work. Some of you are afraid of whether or not that chemo is going to work. Some of you are afraid of whether or not the marriage is going to work, or the way you raised your kids is going to work, or the job prospect is going to work. We're so often sore afraid. But hear this, God promises courage to his children. Look in verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Why should you not fear? Because God's always keeping watch. Amen. At night, By day, in darkness, in the full sun, you are called to take courage because he is Lord over the natural and he's Lord over the supernatural. He controls wicked men and he controls nature. He's not limited in his ability to deal with your problem. There is no situation for which he's wringing his hands trying to figure out what to do. It's all under his control. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We all have to encounter fear. Without fear, there's no need for such a thing as courage. But you do not have to be overtaken by that fear. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. The psalmist encourages you not to be overtaken by fear in your life, but to be overtaken by the Lord, to rest in the shadow of his wings. And in his wings, you find the courage to deal with life. God will protect you. He will give you the courage you need. I love this quote. I don't know who said it, so I just give it to my friend Anonymous. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. Troubles may be raging all around you, but you can find courage. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God promises you courage. Third, we have the promise of protection. The promise of protection, and that makes sense, to be honest with you, based on all that we have seen so far in this psalm. But look in verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Now, Psalm 91 is a teaching psalm. And the psalmist is teaching us, he's teaching his readers, that if you will abide in the Lord, if you will rest, if you will remain in him, God's hand of protection will be on you. Does that mean you won't have any problems? No. If I just love the Lord, does that mean I won't have any troubles in my life? No. People could read a verse like that and they could get really discouraged. Lord, I love you. I love you, but I still have this disease, or I still have a child that is sick. I still have this trouble in my life. I've heard people say things that are kind of like that. I was at a former church member. He's with the Lord today. But I was at his house, and there are a group of men that had gathered around this friend of ours to pray for him. He had a very serious form of cancer, and we gathered around him. And there was a guy there, I didn't know the guy, but the guy proceeded to explain to my friend that if he had been committed, if he would commit himself more to the Lord, then he would not have cancer anymore. And I was like, that's heresy. That's bad theology. That's a bad reading of Scripture. And that is not what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is saying, whatever happens in your life is not beyond the knowledge or the reach of God. God doesn't always answer things the way we want them. God doesn't always make things flowers and puppies. Sometimes there are problems, and they're serious problems, and they're concerning problems. And sometimes there are issues of life and death, but nothing happens, whether trouble, harm, disease, disaster, nothing happens beyond what our God will allow, beyond his divine will or beyond his divine control. But seeing and understanding that takes something we're not very good at. It takes having an eternal viewpoint. We're very temporal in our minds. It's a very human characteristic of who we are, that we are temporal, and we think of this life. We know there is an afterlife, but we just think of this life, and we fail to see the truth. We fail to see that perspective. What we need is that eternal perspective to recognize that when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll recognize that the 70, 80, 90 years we had on this earth pale in comparison to what God has for us. That's an eternal view of reward. And speaking to this type of person talked about here in verses 9 and 10, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 19th century, said this: even the most crushing calamities will only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward. Ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled by good. Happy is he in such case. He is secure where others are in peril. He lives where others die. That's a perspective that's not our normal perspective. That is a divine biblical viewpoint. Now, having an eternal perspective and having this idea that God is at work is sometimes getting harder for us. And I'll tell you why I think it's getting harder for us. We live in a society that is so fast and technologically advanced that we don't have the patience like they have in the Bible. Because today things are done quickly. And if you have a problem, you know, you got a headache, you can take some medicine. You can take some ibuprofen or Tylenol or something like that. And in 20, 30 minutes, it helps with your headache. We just have things that happen quickly in our culture today, in our society today. And yet the people who lived in the times of the Bible, they had to develop patience in their life. And that takes time. But look in verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Okay, so this is the verse the devil's memorized. You see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. That God has assigned angels at times to guard his children. And they are called to lift you up and to deliver you from danger and to protect you. There's been this whole theology that has been built around this concept of guardian angels. There's people that have written all these books about it. It's fascinating to me that they know so much stuff about it when the Bible doesn't say that much about it. They know a lot. But the Bible does speak here of God commanding his angels concerning us. And what exactly that looks like and what exactly that means, we don't always know. But we do know that we're being watched. And that God sometimes allows us to go through troubles. But no trouble is too difficult. No trouble is beyond him. He is aware of what is happening in your life, and he'll give you his power and his strength and his protection. Amen. As we close today, we see the promise of rescue. The promise of rescue, verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord speaks there in verse 14 of us loving him because he loves me. It's a picture of this desire and this longing for the Lord. It speaks of relationship. The psalmist is talking about that relationship. We don't operate out of step with the Lord. We're in a relationship with him. We love the Lord. So we have this relationship. We're committed to him and he loves us. The Lord loves us and he expresses his love to us. But those last few verses are such a wonderful culmination of this entire psalm. Because it is packed with promises. I put this particular psalm as the last message in this series of sermons on the promises of God. You know how when you hear an orchestra and the orchestra is playing and you can tell it's coming to the end of it? And at the end of it, you got the guy that's over there on the timpani, you know, and they're just pounding those drums, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm talking about? And you just know, man, it's just like the place is starting to shake because those drums are beating. That's what happens in these verses. The psalmist has moved over to the timpani. And I want you to see seven I wills of these verses. I will rescue him. I will protect him. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. Those drums are just pounding. as God is promising you, no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what trouble you're facing in your life, no matter how heavy your heart is, no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what you're facing in your life today, God says, I will protect, I will answer, I will be with you. Those are promises you can build your life upon. Those are promises you can build your faith upon. And when God promises, it is done. There's no debate. There's no argument. When God makes a promise, He keeps His promise. Amen. And God is concerned about you. And God knows you. And God loves you in your grief, in your loneliness, in the joys, in the victories. In all times, God knows you and loves you. And He refuses to let you walk alone. He will not let His children walk through trouble alone. So the psalmist says, don't run away. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Dwell in the shadow of His wings. Run to Him with an even greater faith, with a deeper commitment, and say to Him, Lord, You are my refuge. You're my strength. You're my fortress, and in You I place my trust. Amen. I ask you today, at the very beginning, have you ever been in trouble? Guess what? God's in trouble. God's in trouble. God's in trouble. Whatever trouble you face today, God is in it. He's in it. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. God is in trouble. That is a promise. Would you bow your head with me today? Whether you're right here in the room or you're watching from home today, I hope you will be reminded that God knows who you are. He knows where you are. And God loves you right there. Amen. He knows the situation you face. Scripture says He knows the path I take. God knows where you are. He knows the path you take. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what you face today, no matter what that doctor has said, no matter what that situation and that relationship is, God is with you. Fear not. You do not have to be afraid of being left alone, because He is with you. And He extends His grace and His mercy to you. If you have come here today, or if you're watching today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what a great day today is to follow Him. Here on this last Sunday in July, to say, Lord, I need You. And I come to You to say to God, I want to be Your child. Not just Your creation, I want to be Your child. The Bible tells us that if we will confess our sin, to admit that we are a sinner, and to believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, to receive Him as Savior and Lord, the Bible says we will become a child of God. If you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today to do that very thing. To give your life to Jesus Christ. In a moment, we will sing a closing song. And when we do, I want to invite you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to make your way down to our Connect Room. Just go out to our Commons area, to that room. We've got ministers who are there waiting on you and want to visit with you about receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may have come here today and you already know Christ, but you're going through a struggle right now. And you just need God to do a work in your life. And maybe this time of commitment, this time of decision, is a time to say, Lord, I need You in my life. Ask Him to do that right now. Some of you here today may need a church home. You're not a member of our church, and maybe God is leading you to come and join our church. We want to invite you to do that. Come and be a part of our church family. Maybe you feel God's call to be baptized. We're getting ready to baptize in our next service. We'll be baptizing next Sunday as well. Maybe you want to schedule a upcoming Sunday to be baptized. Maybe you feel God's call in your life into ministry, to full-time Christian service. And God's speaking to you about that today. Maybe there's something else that the Lord is telling you. I want to invite you to be obedient to God's call as he leads you. We talked about him leading us all the way. If God is leading you today to join our church, to give your heart to Christ, to commit to be baptized, whatever it may be, I want to invite you to say yes to him. Invite you just to go there after we sing to our Connect room where people will be waiting on you today. You may have a need in your life that you just want somebody to pray for. As soon as our service is over, one of our pastors will be right here at the front. You can come down and pray with that pastor about that need that you have in your life. Whatever situation or burden you might be facing, God is in trouble. He's in the midst of what you're walking through, and he doesn't leave you or abandon you. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then after we pray, we'll sing our closing song. Before I do that, though, with our heads bowed across this room, if you're here today and you would say, I've got a problem in my life and I need God to do a work in my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call your name, but would you just raise your hand? I see hands up across the room, all across this room. Just as a testimony, say to God, God, I need you. I need you. You can put your hands down. And would you quietly stand where you are? Father, I thank you that you are Lord of all. You're Lord of celebrations and victories, and you are Lord over the difficult times in our life. Father, some people in this room have raised their hand as a testimony to say, God, I need you. God, they're calling out to you today. They're asking that you would do a work in their life. God, would you do something divine and supernatural in their life? God, would you minister and meet their need? Whatever that is, God, would you just intercede for them and work in their life today? According to your way, according to your will, according to your time. Father, for those who need to receive you as Savior, I pray they would not delay a day. But today would be the day of salvation in their life. God, for those who need to join our church or commit to be baptized, whatever step of obedience you've placed upon their heart, God, give them courage to do that today. Let us not be about the business of making excuses, but Father, may we do what you are leading us individually, personally to do. So Father, we submit ourselves to you. We thank you that you are a God who is almighty and powerful. You are Lord. You are our shelter, our refuge, and our strength. And no matter where we are in our lives today, each and every one of us, we commit ourselves to run to you and to place our trust in you. Thank you, God, for loving us and for being our refuge and the promise of your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.